you for staying. With Sharad and I on Consider This, let's continue our conversation with Edin Khoo, chairperson of the UEC Task Force. Now, Edin, just before the break, you said that the term recognition of the UEC is problematic.
Yeah.
Can you explain why?
Okay, first let me just clarify. The report hasn't been submitted yet to the MOE. We had Mazli, who resigned. We waited for next education minister, and next we knew that government wasn't in power anymore. Then there was a worldwide pandemic. So we're waiting for the right time now to bring
small
it to the minister.
Small hurdles.
the minister. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, these are some of the technical and administrative things we had to look at. These are actually very separate systems, right? Conducted in entire different languages, for example. You know, if these systems were actually in conversation, there'd be lots to exchange that could benefit both systems. But essentially, how do you recognize a system that is counter to your own? You could accept them, you could permit entrance, but recognition is a whole other issue altogether. It means allowing separate systems to operate on the same level, right? Which is administratively would be a complete headache.
Right. Some of the defenders of the UEC examination and proponents of recognition say that, well, many universities around the world recognize the UEC as, you know, as a marker of the standard of, you know, of education that the Chinese schools, the private Chinese schools provide. What would you say to that kind of argument?
No, let me push that aside. That essentially is a bit of a red herring. First of all, most UEC students have to go through some kind of conditional process. It's not an unconditional entrance into universities in the UK and the US and Australia and whatever not, and Singapore even. Some have very, very interesting conditions. For example, UEC graduates can study certain subjects but not other subjects due to the background of this particular kind of system. This issue of standards is one that can be seriously debated. Yeah? What do you mean by standards? That you get 21 distinctions, but you cannot articulate a single thought when you are asked to present certain things? Exam muggers, are they the standards by which we accept you know, brilliance and genius? I don't think so. I think these are the questions that need to be raised. So the UEC issue has given us an opportunity through this report. It's a very comprehensive report. It's a report that goes through and reviews all the previous reports from the Barnes report, Razak report, Fen Wu report, right up to present day. It looks at our national philosophy. It looks at strengthening ways to strengthen the national education system while we address the UEC thing, UEC issue. It attempts to grapple with the brain drain from national education system to private schools, to public schools and so on. So very, very comprehensive. It's over 10,000 words long.
Will we see it? Will it see the light of day?
Is it
okay, one
made
of
public?
The conditions that I, conditions or requests rather, when I took the appointment as the chairman, chairperson of the task force, was to tell Minister Mazli, who was, by the way, a very supportive, open-minded and broad-minded minister, that we would very much want the report to be made public. Because from the very outset, we not only have this actual report, which is over 10,000 words long, we have transcripts of every single interview that was done with stakeholders, whether they opposed. And these were very, very good discussions. One of the best discussions I actually had, not just in the UEC, but on the national education system and things, was with the group ISMA, who are sometimes thought to be, you know, extremely... but there were also some very interesting discoveries. I think many things about our national life are fairly secure.
Right.
Nobody in the course of this denied the rights of Chinese, for example, to citizenship. So those things are, it's just a matter of this system.
Can I ask you, what was the value of having this kind of independent task force look at this issue, which has been highly politicized, highly racialized? What was that value of having three people from, you know, from the outside looking in to take a look at this, you know, at
well,
this
that's,
issue?
The easiest thing to answer, it injects an element of reason, which has been, this issue has been devoid of the element of reason, and there's been a lot of chest thumping and a lot of communal heroism from each side about this issue. Now, both sides have very, very credible questions to ask. Questions about the national language, for example, as a medium of instruction, are very important to ask. But then we also address issues about problems with the national language at the moment, how it's constructed, how it's structured. We raise those issues too. Mm. People don't have sometimes have faith in the national language as a medium of instruction because you keep changing its structure all the time. So there are all these issues to be raised that, and we have to look at how every single one of those things has an effect. One of the most interesting discoveries I found in this is that it's not so much a communal issue that is a problem to our national, our education system. It's a problem of class. It's about how, through social mobility, which is a very good thing, of course, after a certain, you arrive at a certain income, you feel that your children need private education. And of course, in private education facilities, all the communal aspects are gone, yeah? Mm-hmm. So everybody gets along because they all speak in English, they have a certain middle class bourgeois life. But of course, the differences between the gap between the well-to-do and the not-so-well-to-do, and your social realities then become incredibly transformed through this experience.
Edwin, this coming back to UEC and the question of recognition, right, which is a kind of, would be a statement that would be made by the government of the day. Mm-hmm. Do you think any government, and whatever the configuration might be, would have the political will and the strength to push through a recognition? Considering the kind of pushback is already scripted, we know what the pushback is going to be. Anybody likely, and as we look at the future of this country in terms of political stability, is it possible?
Well, first of all, you do not need to use the term recognition. You can use some other kind of term. We have foreign students, for example. They come from a different system. Yeah, they come from a different system. They are encouraged to enter our universities because it makes our universities more competitive. So when you look at a UEC student, you look at a UEC student as coming from a different system, but still being a Malaysian national. So it can be resolved just by an issue of the fees that you pay. You don't pay international fees, you pay local fees, but you are given the same. One of the things that I suggested very strongly to everyone I spoke to, at the moment, UEC students who want to enter, they do what is called a double-tracking exam system, right? Mm. So they do the UEC and they do the ESPM, so they have choice. I'm trying to come up with, there are two conditions that are very crucial. A credit in Bahasa Malaysia, right? And rather than do the whole SPM, I had voiced out that perhaps we do a very good entrance exam to replace the 7 subjects that they do, or 8 subjects that they do, with one entrance exam, you know, comparable to the entrance exam they have to do at NUS or Cambridge, right, to enter our local university.
Have you had any conversations with the current education minister?
I am hoping to see him. We have to go through a few processes. As I said, minister resigned, government fell, new government, world pandemic. So now I'm going to request. There are several processes. I need to meet with my committee again. And then we have to ask to see the minister. And when I see 2 ministers now, higher education and Ministry of Education.
Right, yeah.
So processes to go through.
Edwin, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very
very
much
enlightening, all the things that you've shared with us tonight. That's all the time we have on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, folks. Good night.